say you don't need no diamond.
We're not going to be bored at Bay Cities, be sure of that.
Good morning.
Good to be together. What I want to know first off is, what the heck are you people doing here? Really, I went to dinner this week with Joe Patterson, who's in the back, running the computer stuff, and he told me that the temperature gauge in the middle of the service said 94 last week. That is just ridiculous. So we're thinking, can you get this dialed in there, buddy? Can you, what that means is that we need an angel of some sort to get air conditioning in here. So we'll see what happens. Maybe there'll be a surprise. Also, the NFL starts today. Yes. And I'm real excited. I love football. I always have. My family really doesn't. My four daughters never got into it, and Matt's a millennial. And what can I say? So we actually do have a football player in the room, though. One of the highest level kickers in the land, in my mind. He can kick 60 yarders, kind of without even thinking. It's going to be fun to watch his life. Nathan is in the room, yes. He's playing for Redlands, is it? Yeah. Did you do good last night? Oh, it didn't play. So he didn't do good last night. Although USC did. They did fine. Yeah. So, but I want to just make mention of some people I've heard are boycotting the NFL for one reason or another. And some of you know about this stuff. And I just want you to know that I'm not boycotting the NFL. And I want to tell you why. I understand there's disagreements on all sides. I get it. Whenever the national anthem comes on, I'm standing up. That's what I'm doing. Just because I've been trained that way, all right? But I'm not really mad at somebody that doesn't. I don't have the emotional energy. Everybody, it seems like, is so quick to get angry today. And you're giving emotional energy away. I don't mind disagreement. I don't mind debate. It doesn't bother me a bit. But to get so high on your horse about anything. This week, I think it was on an Instagram that I saw, and I'll never forget it. It impacted me. You know how the Bible just jumps out of certain things? Every once in a while we talk about Jesus showing up. You turn this up a little bit there, buddy? I don't know what happened here, but I was reading it. It was this gal. I didn't even know who it is. I follow somebody that follows me. And she's marrying a guy named Will. And it'd be amazing if she was in this room. But she wrote this beautiful Instagram that she said, I want to tell you about Will, the man that I'm marrying. And she put Will's name into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And what happened was, she says, Will is patient. Will is kind. And she goes on to explain that I had dreams that were bigger than I thought I'd ever get. But Will has come through. But as she was going through, Will is this, Will is that, she says, she wrote this, Will is not easily angered. And I'm telling you, it's just like a light bulb came on. I talk about anger all the time. I talk about the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God ever. And we all have a tendency at times to get overly angry and overly intense, thus overly stressed. And when I saw those two words put together, I'd never seen them before. I've never even thought about them. I've taught that passage over and over again. But not only don't be angered, don't be easily angered. And it just struck me. So, and I'm a guy who wants to... Ken, can you go help him? Please, because it's echoing in my head. I want volume, but I don't want it to echo in my head. And I am getting older, so it may continue to echo in my head. My mic went out last service, and I had to bring Sandy's mic up here like I did last week. And I don't want these. I don't want to be. So the message is, don't be known for what you're against. Be known for what you're for. I don't mind disagreement at all in life. So I'm watching the NFL. Go Packers. Right? Go Packers. Yeah, somebody's happy. Yeah, he owns stock in the Packers. He's a. On October 7th, the Celebrate Recovery leadership team is doing a shred off right here in our parking lot, inviting all the neighbors. Very exciting. Please come and participate with that. And also, baptism is coming next week, and it's a big deal in our church. It's a favorite day of the month, of the year. And the first question of the day, am I a candidate for baptism? It's a great question. Should I be baptized? And just to deal with that for a few minutes, three things would come to mind. If I'm a follower of Jesus, if I believed in him and I haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Just come join me in the pool out back at 12:45 next week. If I was baptized as a baby, and that wasn't your baptism, that was your mom and dad's baptism, and they did the best they could. I'm not down on your mom and dad and what they did and wherever you were involved, but it wasn't your baptism unless you were a really bright baby. And I think as a grown-up, you should make a decision that I should do what Jesus says and I should get baptized. So, I'd encourage you to get baptized. If you were baptized and then you kind of weren't involved with Jesus on any level for some years, some decades maybe even, and you feel like there was a moment in time where you believed after you were baptized, you've got to make that decision. But if that was me, I'd get rebaptized just to make sure. Because baptism is a big deal. So, if you're a follower and haven't been baptized, if you're baptized as a baby, or if you believed after being baptized, I'd encourage you to get baptized. It won't hurt you. I won't hold you down too long. So when we say, why should we do it? Two quick things. Number one, first of all, to follow the example set by Jesus. We're to be like him. In verse 9, it says in Mark 1, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. So clearly, Jesus was baptized. By John the Baptist. We're to be like him. Second thought is because Jesus asked us to be baptized. The very verse that we're using for this series in Matthew 28:19. Okay, now I can't hear myself. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Jesus' command to the church. This is why we baptize, because Jesus told us to. 1 John 2:3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Doing what he says confirms a real faith, and I encourage you to do that. So there's sign-ups in the back. There's 20 or so people getting baptized, so I encourage you to, if you need to do that, if God's touching your heart, if Jesus is showing up in your life, just get baptized. We'll give you a hamburger and a hot dog beforehand. You'll have a good time. It'll be a beautiful day like this. So our theme today, you ready? I'm ready. Huh? Watch out for greed. Watch out for greed. You can't take it with you, one guy said. There was a man who tried to disprove that. As he lay on his deathbed, he spoke with his three best friends, a doctor, a professor, and a lawyer. He said, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to take it with me. That's what this fella said. I'm giving you each $100,000 in an envelope, cash. After I die, before they close my casket, I want you each to put the money in with me. Sure enough, he died. And at his funeral, the three friends each stopped by an open casket and put in an envelope. Later that day, they were talking about their friend with his unusual request. Then the doctor spoke up and said, guys, I need to get this off my chest. We need to talk about something. We all know that money wasn't going to do any good in the ground. The hospital is completing a new children's wing, so I took $50,000 of the cash and I gave it to that cause, kind of with a guilty look on his face. Well, as long as we're confessing, said the professor, you're right. There really was no reason to put that money in the ground. I donated $70,000 of it to the university library, and I put $30,000 in. They both looked expectantly at the lawyer, and he said, I'm ashamed of you both as my friends. Our friend trusted us. He made a request of us. I did what I was told. I put in a check for $100,000. And if you're still thinking and trying to figure that out, and you laugh in about 10 minutes, we'll know why. So let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you that this microphone is working. Thank you that we can count on your love. That money can't buy love. Oh, no, it can't. Thank you that you're there for us. That we can run and come to you anytime we want. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd touch each of our hearts. Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We want to be like you. We want to follow you. We want to learn from you. We want you, Jesus, to disclose yourself to us. As we obey and trust you, please, please let us learn more of you. And speak to us today as you always do. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, we're in a series about the commandments of Jesus. We've already talked about the verse. Jesus, I just want you to know, isn't coming after your wallet. That's not what he's doing here in this text. He's coming after a whole lot more than that, a whole lot more. He takes dead aim in this passage, I believe, at your heart and at mine. That's what he wants. And that's why I want you to hear that. I want you to see that. I want you to feel that as we work through this passage. He's talking today about what you love, what you care most about, what you treasure, what you would literally give your life for, and what you're chasing and going after in life. So buckle up, friends. This is Jesus coming at you big time right now. Advertisers say if we buy more products, we'll be happier, more fulfilled, more comfortable, more popular, and more cool. Yet they never warn of the excess or hint that having things won't make us happy. And we know that, but they're chasing us over and over and over again. 34% of Americans in the year 2000 ranked shopping as their favorite activity. I'm sure in the last 17 years that's gone up. Now we do it online. Boxes come to our house over and over and over again. And we have Prime and it's free, right? 70% back then visited malls at least once a week. It's part of the pastime. That's more than go to churches or synagogues. The average American shops 6 hours a week but only plays with their children 40 minutes a week. Think about that just for a minute. By age 20, the average American has seen around 1 million commercials. This is in the year 2000. Before the internet had exploded. So in our passage today, first off, number one there in your notes, as we narrate the passage, Jesus is drawn into a money fight. Thank you, guys. This feels and sounds good. Thank the guys in the back. He's drawn into a money fight, into a family dispute of some kind. We don't know a lot of details, as you'll see, but it may just simply be a family squabble over greed, which happens. Believe me, the stories I've heard about parents and mothers and fathers that have died is just, they're amazing. And you all have your own stories. And you just shake your head. Are you kidding me? No details are given about the man's motives or if the claim was legitimate or not. It may have been. Look at it, verse 13. He's talking to a crowd of people. Someone, we don't know who it is. We don't have a name to attach. Could be anybody. In the crowd, massive crowd, said to him, blurted out, interrupted him. And that was normal in the Jewish culture. This was not abnormal. If somebody blurted out something here, we would be kind for a while. And, you know, this is more the lecture teaching format than a participation one. And we all know that. We get that. But here, somebody in the crowd, he blurted out, teacher, and it's a title of respect, so he's being respectful as he does it. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So this question kind of assumes that the brother is in the audience. Tell him to divide the inheritance with me. He's probably the older brother, and he's making decisions. That's the way it went back then. Attempting to get Jesus to move his brother. Using him as sort of a battering ram to sell his point. And so he's trying to push Jesus to get involved in a money fight. In a family squabble. The New Testament is really really clear concerning money on a whole bunch of levels, much clearer than in the Old Testament, frankly. Loving money can lead to problems. The love of money brings on all kinds of evil, the Bible says. Not money. It's the love of money. It's the motive, the attitude, the longing for money. Loving money can cause people to forget God. It has before and it will again. And the message is, don't let it happen to you. Loving money can cause us to be deceived and sidetracked and end up messed up. Loving money can cause people to steal and cheat because they want it so bad. and to do it in an inappropriate way. And it can potentially mess you up. And it's all about the love of money, not money itself. Please understand that. That's what today is all about. Number two, Jesus tells him, I'm not here for that. Simply, he answers him. He understood what he is here for. Let me ask you a question. Do you understand what you're here for? Really? The more you meet Jesus and understand his words, you get new passions in life, new purpose in life. It doesn't mean it dominates all of your thinking, because you got to work. You got to, you know, clean your house every now and again. It's not good if you don't clean your house. Do dishes once in a while. You got to manage life. But Jesus here, there's a message here. He didn't try to be everything to everybody. He didn't. He knew his role and he didn't go beyond it. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. He got it. He understood. He stayed on task. We should act accordingly. Don't try to be more than you are. Be the best you can be. Don't compare yourself to other people. It's not a competition. Don't outrun your punt coverage, i.e. the NFL. Responding to the brother's public question in verse 14, Jesus replied in a public way. He said, man, now this is a reference that's respectful. It's not Jesus being, hey man, you know, that's not what this is, all right? It would have surprised him, the guy that's asking him the question, if he looked over and he said, hey, Sean, Scott, Larry, Richard, whatever his name was, because he knew what his name was. But see, Jesus isn't a grandstander. See, a lot of times we want to be special, and we know something that other people don't know, and we can't keep our mouth shut. You tracking with me? Learn from Jesus. He doesn't have to grandstand. Now, if I was Jesus, I would have said, hey, Richard, let me answer your question, just because it would have been cool. That's why we're not Jesus, right? So Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? This is not my job. It's not my job. Jesus grabbed the teaching opportunity to teach the issue of greed. He set up. It's like he put a ball on a tee, a big old softball, and Jesus has the bat to warn them concerning greed. And that's where he's going to take this conversation. Jesus is clarifying what he came for. He came to bring men to God, not to bring property to men. That's not what Jesus is about at all. Number three, Jesus warns them about greed now. He warns them about greed. This is in response to the question that was just asked, you know, about don't be misled, don't be unwise, and he seizes the opportunity that this fella gave to him in front of everybody, this man's request, and he offers them and us a life principle. And if you will just take this life principle and put it in your mind and move it down to your heart and live it the rest of your life, you live much freer than this culture will ever take you to. If you embrace it, your life will get better. Your life will have less stress. You'll live in a wiser way. You'll bear more fruit and you'll end up happier. Every wedding I do, I tell them, I say, early on, I say, look, what we want more than anything is for you to be happy as a couple. All these people that are your family and friends, that's all we want. And truthfully, that's what God wants. But you gotta listen to him. You gotta step into his world and live it out to the best of your ability. Imperfect, certainly. But that's where happiness lies. All right, look at verse 15. What am I talking about here? Then he said to them, refers to the entire crowd as well, he said, watch out. The idea here is beware. Be observant. Be perceptive. Watch out. Be on your guard. And the idea here is look out. There's stuff coming at you. Avoid certain things. Flee from certain things. So he says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And here it is. This is what we're to do. We're to be careful every day of our life and to watch out that greed doesn't take over in our life, because it can and it might. It's the idea of a wrong desire for wealth. It's the idea of only wealth that's what greed is wealth that's only to be used for me and my life. And it's not to benefit anybody else. It's all about me. Then he goes on, and here's the life principle. Here's the one that will break you free if you let it. He says life, and he's not talking about biological life. He's talking about a life that is fulfilling, a life that is happy, a life that is satisfied, about being meaningful. He says, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And he's saying a mouthful here. Because the truth is, this is what most of us want. We want more, or we want something real bad, whatever it might be. Abundance means to exceed or surpass, to have more than enough, to overflow. Possessions mean property, wealth, things, stuff, possessions, anything that you might own. And he says, look, you're not going to be happy because of the abundance of possessions and things. And if you can somehow sell yourself from what the Bible, what Jesus says directly to us, you get to live free. You won't be owned by the world in the same way people that don't believe this are. And I think all of us understand this because we like stuff. We're people. We're humans. If I right now could clap my hands and triple your equity and property. Now, for some of you, you don't own anything, so that'd be easy to do. You got nothing, you still have nothing. But for some of you, you got a lot, right? And if I tripled it, you'd go, oh my gosh, it'd be done. You'd be blown away. Jesus is telling us to be careful here. He's saying, watch out, Jim. This stuff can even get you. Even though you love Jesus, you know me, it can get you. Be careful of what greed can do to you. Be careful of where greed could lead you. Be careful of what the end result of it would be. He's saying, watch out. And Jesus, all he's trying to do here with this life principle is lead us. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to speak into our life and educate us on what's true. He's telling us to refuse to believe that money brings fulfillment. And most people we know and live around think that money will bring satisfaction to their life and safety and a future that they want more than without money. That's what we believe as humans. So this is contrarian to the way the culture lives. It will not bring satisfaction. It will not bring purposeful living. It will not bring the happiness that people long for. And somehow, if you can convince your brain of that, it's a big stinking deal. It really is. Ecclesiastes 5:10, Joe's going to throw it up. The smartest man that ever lived, Solomon, he says, whoever loves money never has enough. Never. Never. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. They want to upgrade it. And a lot of us understand that. This too is meaningless. There is such wisdom here, if you'll only grab it. A dog was carrying a bone as he crossed a bridge. He looked into the water and saw his own reflection. He took this to be another dog and another bone. As he looked down, there's another dog. He looks like me, but he's another dog. He desperately wanted the other bone, so he dropped the one he had to scare the other dog away. And to get rid of him. Is it too much? Of course, there was no other bone, and he lost the one he had. It floated down the river. Such is the nature of human greed. In an effort to get what we want, we frequently lose what we have. It's just so true. Number four, let's keep moving. Jesus tells the story of a wealthy man. And he often does this. I love this about Jesus. We try to kind of be like him here that have this kind of job. But he illustrates the point through a story. We all have a story, right? We love story, and Jesus gives us a story to teach us to apply truth, to allow it to sink in. Now, this story is not true. There's not really this guy. He's making this up, but he teaches us about what greed can do. And most of you know the story, but we'll have fun working through it. Verse 16, and he told them this parable, nothing new. He does this all the time. The ground, the land that was owned by the farmer, the ground of a certain rich man. Notice the guy's already rich. He's already wealthy. He's already got more than everybody else around. He's already rich. That's key to understand in this story. He had worked hard all of his life. He had earned it. And he was blessed. And he knew it. So the ground, the land of a certain rich man, yielded an abundant harvest. No mention of any wrongdoing. This came, no dishonesty here. It just blew up. His crops blew up. And he probably thought, I am an amazing farmer. I may be the best farmer in the world. I don't know what he thought, but he was amazed. It was a really, really good year. Verse 17, he thought to himself, self, you ever do this? Think so? Self? What should I do? What should I do? So he reached deep into his brain, his heart, and his experience. We all do this regularly. What should I do? What do I do? This huge harvest presented him a dilemma. I have no place to store my crops. There's no more room. I'm full. Another dilemma was, if I take the harvest to market, I may flood the market. I may affect the price and it may go down. So he's thinking, experienced. Verse 18, then he said, after thinking about things, some time passed, this is what I'll do. So he made an action plan. He made a business plan for himself with this incredible, abundant harvest that he received. I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. So why would you tear down the barns you have? Why not build other barns next to the barns you have? You know why? Because he didn't want to give up land that he was growing the crops on. He wanted everything he could get. Just like most humans. He wanted to be wise in a business way. Didn't want to give up harvesting land. And there I will store my surplus grain. Grain that I don't even need. Talk about being a prepper. I'll have greater storage capacity. Verse 19. And I'll say to myself, self. Got to have some fun. You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. You've arrived. You're special. You're unique. You're amazing, is really what he's thinking. No thought here of sharing with the poor, where they had gleaning times, where 10% of the crop on the corners would be left for poor people. It was written clearly in the Old Testament. They just leave it there for poor people after the harvest went. How about he gives 20% of his crop to poor people this year just because somehow he had a big crop? It's all because of him, right? Maybe it's because God gave extra rain and just blessed him. No thought of giving more to God's work, to push forward the truth into different cultures and different people's lives. How many people around here need to meet Jesus? And us just being here is a light in the neighborhood. And asking them to bring their excess paper on October 7th to have a shred off together. Somebody might go, I'm going to go over there because we had a shred off. I'm going to go over there. You never know. Let's go on. It was all for him. It's all for him and his family. He's hoarding it. He wants enough for years to come. Why does he want more than he needs and enough for years to come? Look at it. And take life easy. This is what people really want. They just want to retire. They want to be done. They want to do whatever they want to do. You know, nowhere in the Bible can you find the word retirement. You find the word death. That's all you find. Nowhere do you find it. You keep looking. If you find it, come up and tell me. This is what he really wanted. He wanted to take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Just live now and for now. Don't look for opportunities to give back. Don't try to make extra money so you can give it away because you've got enough. He's stuck thinking about self. Now, great question here. Why is it, and we can ask it of ourselves, why is it that humans often want an easy life? Why? Why? And usually want more than they need. What's that all about? Where's that come from? What's the source of it? Really. If you get beyond this thinking, it's really a big deal. And that's what I hope kind of hits your heart today. Just a little bit. Not a lot. It can happen over time. It doesn't all have to happen today. Go easy on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Just learn. Listen to Jesus and watch him. Baby step by baby step, take over your life in a beautiful way, give you a better life and make you a better person. That's exactly what he'll do if you will give yourself to him as completely as you know how. Redefine yourself by understanding this truth, this principle of life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Learn that. Believe that. Embrace that. That doesn't mean you might not have a lot, because God's made you wise and capable. If you can begin to understand the wisdom that Paul gives us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at this. He says, now about your love for one another. We do not need to write you, In other words, you're doing a great job. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Do you know that that's what God motivates you to do if you're really a follower of Him every day? So if you stop loving somebody, you had to have a little negative juice inside of you. Some bad mojo's happened inside of you. You're a little ticked off about something. You're a little resentful about something because God motivates us to love one another. That's when you're there, you're where you belong. Verse 10, and in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. You're doing a great job. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do more and more. Keep loving and love some more. This is what you're here for. And to make it your ambition in life, to lead a quiet life. Not to be famous. It's interesting how young people, they just want to be famous. And so do some of us old people. You should mind your own business. Oh, don't get in the business of others. And work with your hands. Do something productive. Make something happen. Use that creativity that God gave you. Just as we told you. Why? So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And so that you may not be dependent on anybody. There's a message there that if you embrace that, your life is freer. Number five, let's keep going, get you out of here. Jesus says, number five, don't be foolish and live for dollars, money. So just put the dollar sign there. I didn't have room for money. Money. So what he's saying is be smarter than this. Understand what really matters. If the things that really matter to you are money and things and possessions and stuff, you're a fool. Don't be a fool. He says loud and clear in verse 20, but God said to him, you fool, the guy in the story, right? You fool. Fool represents someone who is mindless, ignorant, isn't a part of the truth. You got to hear this stuff to know it, right? He says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. You're dying tonight. You're not going to see morning. Now understand, Jesus says this to this guy. You're dying tonight. And he didn't die right then. He had some time to think about his life and how he'd lived. And I believe to be tremendously remorseful and devastated by his own choices and the hollow man that he was towards God. That's very, very sad. This guy had time to think. Probably ate him up. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. These are just scary words. You can't go back and make things different. You can't. This man had foolishly forgotten God in his life. He had left God out of his plans in life, and you can't force him in the last 15 minutes or the last 15 hours. It's about faithfulness and listening and following to the best of your ability. These are the words of Jesus, this principle. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And I don't know if you really believe that. Believe it, my friends. It's freedom. It's being repeated here in this story in a different way. If you ignore me, Jesus is saying, you'll pay a price. If you refuse to listen to me, if you do things your own way, there are consequences. These are stern words of warning. And number six and last, cool, we're at the end. Jesus ends with being rich towards God. What a great statement, being rich towards God. He closes this principle and story that he's just talked about with the end in mind, with what the results will be based on what you choose. When Jesus says, this is what will happen, listen, you and I can count on it. It's guaranteed. This is our future. And so, he's just warning us. He's telling us the truth. Verse 21, this is how it will be for that guy and for us as well. This will be your future. With whoever stores up things for themselves. Life and money are all about them. Their pleasure, their wants, and themselves. I've got a pretty good friend that's got a lot of cars. It's his hobby. God has blessed his life. And anytime I want his cars that are worth a lot of dough, he brings them here, and kids with sticky fingers get in $500,000 and $600,000 cars on the grass. Doors wide open. He shares what he has in whatever way he can. Whoever stores up things for themselves, but in contrast, is not rich towards God. God has not found their way into their checkbooks or their hearts. This will be part of the story for everybody. You get to choose. It's kind of scary. Focus their lives on things here and now instead of storing up things in heaven. Now, I hope you're gigantically successful. I hope you're smart enough to invest wisely, especially young. And then multiply and be very wealthy and be very generous at the same time towards God and towards other people in whatever way you can. Don't just store up stuff for yourself is what he's trying to tell you. Being rich towards God, what a picture. Who wouldn't want to do that? Who wouldn't want to do that? This is about our time and talents and ability and our money. This starts with what I believe and then my attitude towards what I believe. Am I a follower or am I an ignorer? I take what I want and I leave what I don't want. Does Jesus have your heart? Does he? What are my actions and reactions in life, which are sourced from my attitude towards Jesus himself? You know, there's a statistic out there that Ben Myers, the pastor at Lameda, my friend, told me about 2 months ago. And it's kind of been proven that 60% of people that go to church don't give anything in the way of offering. I said, no way. Not Bay City, South Bay. He goes, yeah. I go, I can't believe that. I don't believe it. I don't believe that 60% of the people in here don't write a check or give anything to God. If I believe that, I might have to quit. I'd be a failure. So if you're really doing that, you need to change and change now. Not because we need your money, although we do, but not because of that. I'm serious. That is deadly for you. Start writing a check. Make it $5 a month. I don't care. Don't not give to God. Listen to Jesus, please. Does Jesus have your heart? Does he? Number one, what does he teach us? Greed can happen to any of us. It's not just about how much you have or how much you want. It's about how you view others. Are you greedy with your love? Do you keep it all for yourself and your nuclear family, whatever the heck that is? The good things that happen to them, you don't celebrate to other people? You're sort of jealous of them? You can be greedy and not have a lot. Number two, life never has been about stuff. He's telling us loud and clear, it does not consist, life, in the abundance of possessions. Use stuff, enjoy stuff. Don't keep stuff for yourself. Number three, my legacy is my choice. From this day forth, don't ever tell me that Jesus didn't speak into your life about greed. If you are sitting here, he has told you loud and clear, and me as his helper. You can't say he didn't tell you what matters and what you ought to pursue and what real success is and where it lies. Be careful, my friends. Leo Tolstoy once wrote a story about a farmer who was not satisfied with his lot in life. He wanted more of everything, and one day he received a novel offer. For a small sum, he could buy all the land he could walk around in a day. The only catch in the deal was that he had to be back at his starting point by sundown. Early the next morning, he started out walking at a pretty fast pace. By midday, he was very tired, but he kept going, covering more and more ground. Well into the afternoon, he realized that his greed had taken him far from the starting point. He quickened his pace, and as the sun began to sink low in the sky, he began to run, bless you, knowing that if he did not make it back by sundown, the opportunity to become an even bigger landholder would be lost. As the sun began to set, he came within sight of the finish line. Gasping for breath, his heart pounding, he called upon every bit of strength left in his body and staggered across the line just before the sun disappeared. He immediately collapsed and he died. Afterwards, his friends dug a grave. It was 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. The title of Tolstoy's story was How Much Land Does a Man Need? Watch out for your legacy. You're making it every day of your life. Don't think I'm going to fix everything in 2 years or 3 years or 10 years. Fix it today. Don't wait. Number four, I can invest different if I listen. You really can make a change. This is what Jesus was trying to tell all the folks and us. Be different. Listen to me. Love me. Choose me in every part of your life. So, question to close today. Do most people listen to him? I'm not just talking about us in this room, but up and down these streets. Do most people listen to him? Absolutely not. Are we willing to listen to him? I sure hope so. I can't imagine you not. Why wouldn't you? We can take a step in this direction. And when you do, if you do, watch what happens in your heart as you move your life towards him and not towards things owning you. Watch what happens. Let's pray as we close. Lord, thank you that we can be together. We love you. We want to follow you. We know we live in a culture that is challenging about this kind of stuff. I just pray some of us in this room take a step towards you, and that you, based on us moving towards you, would disclose a bit more of yourself to us. Lord, help every guy and every gal in this room to somehow notch it up in wanting to love you and follow you. Help us to make that choice, no matter what struggles we face, no matter what blessings we have. Help us to inch by inch move towards you and bring joy to our own life and certainly joy to your heart. We love you, we love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You are dismissed and free. Come by me love.